on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Tánaiste Dlí of Radcar tells the Dáil updated micro-redress legislation will be published before Easter. Deputy Thomas Pringle says the ongoing delays are completely unacceptable. 10,571 new COVID cases confirmed today in the Republic. Meanwhile, four more deaths in Donegal in the week up to Tuesday. Nightclubs will reopen in Northern Ireland next Wednesday. The need for vaccine passports will also be abolished in bars, restaurants and hotels. They'll still be needed in nightclubs. Meanwhile, it's hoped that COVID restrictions in the Republic will ease in the coming week. All that to follow, and at around 5:15 this evening, Kenny is here with the sports news. Also, as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore, that coming up directly after the sport at around 5:20. We begin, though, with today's Dáil discussion on the mica issue, and Tánaiste Dlí of Radcar has told the Dáil that updated mica redress legislation will be published before Easter. The issue was raised by Deputy Thomas Pringle, who said the ongoing delays are completely unacceptable. He called for the legislation to be published immediately. He also called for the scrapping of the controversial sliding scale.
In relation to the mica redress scheme, it's 7 weeks since I stood here and asked you to explain where the dubious sliding scale came from. That day you said you reckoned it was a sensible one. You may still hold to that thinking, but you cannot continue to call it a 100% redress scheme and stand over the sliding scale at the same time. It's irrational and it's totally disingenuous, Tánaiste. The people of Donegal are not fools, so it has to just stop the spin. I've asked the Minister a number of PQs on this and he fails to provide an adequate answer either. And 7 weeks later, his department has yet to release the records under FOI on the issue either. It gives me the impression that the calculation was written on the back of an envelope at the very last minute in a cabinet and rubber stamped. There is a stench from it, Tánaiste. So my question is this. Can you give me a definitive timeline for your government to publish the mica legislation? And will you commit to consigning the nonsensical sliding scale to the bin of bad ideas? Thank you.
Deputy, this legislation to establish the mica scheme on a statutory footing is priority legislation for the government. It will be this session. We expect it to be no later than Easter and probably before.
And that was the Tánaiste in the Dáil today responding to Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. 10,571 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic today. 5,523 identified through PCR tests and 5,048 through positive antigen tests reported on the HSE portal. As of 8 today, 896 COVID-19 patients were in hospital, 90 of them in ICU. Latest figures for Letterkenny University Hospital show 41 infected patients, two of them in intensive care. There were four more COVID-19 related deaths in Donegal in the week up to Tuesday last, January 18th. The HPSC says since the start of the pandemic, there have been 235 deaths in the county, a mortality rate of 148 per 100,000 people, slightly higher than the national rate of 128. Nationally, the number of reported deaths is now 6,087. There were 3,138 COVID cases reported in Donegal last week, an incidence rate of 1,971 cases per 100,000 people. That compared to a national average over the same period of 1,888. And in Northern Ireland today, 3,879 new cases confirmed, with two further COVID-related deaths. Well, nightclubs will reopen north of the border next Wednesday. The Stormont executive has also agreed that dancing and indoor standing venues can resume on that date. There will also be no need for vaccine passports in bars, restaurants and hotels from next Wednesday, but they will still be needed in nightclubs. Other restrictions will ease tomorrow at 12 noon, including the requirement for table service in the hospitality sector. The cap of 6 per table will also be removed and there will be no limit on the number of households that can meet indoors. Well, it's hoped that COVID restrictions can be eased south of the border over the coming days and weeks as well. Health officials have been meeting today to consider the spread of the virus and what's possible in the short term. An announcement is expected tomorrow. Hoteliers are hoping that there will be an easing of restrictions affecting them and their customers. Noel Cunningham of Harvey's Point in Donegal says it's vital that restrictions are eased.
We employ a lot of young people who work at our weddings, students. You know, we put them through college And, you know, to have a rule that you can only have 100, well, how can you police 100? You can easily have 200. I mean, the normal size of a wedding now is about 175. And there's no difference in having 175 in a room at a wedding as to having 100.
GPs, Gardaí and retail workers are calling for the pandemic bonus to be extended to them. The scheme will cover frontline healthcare workers with a €1,000 payment to recognise their efforts. The government says it would be hard to know where to draw the line if more workers were eligible. Well, Brendan O'Connor, the Vice President of the Garda Representative Association, believes his members have a good cause.
We were dealing with the public day in, day out, on checkpoints, meeting thousands of people. We all saw those footage of Grafton Street during the those protests against the lockdown. Our members have been spat at, had bottles of urine thrown at them, you know, that sort of thing. It really was a difficult time on the front line for guards.
Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue is promising more money for small piers and other council-run marine infrastructure in 2022. He was questioned in the Dáil about what would be done in light of the report of the Seafood Task Force, which stressed the importance of public marine infrastructure in realising the potential of the marine resource. Minister McConnellogue agreed such infrastructure builds capacity and supports coastal communities. He promised an early funding announcement.
The past year, 2021, had a record level of funding for marine infrastructure under the control of local authorities. It was increased to over 4 million, which was a one-third increase in the previous year and the highest in record. And I will be increasing that very significantly in the time ahead, and I'm very cognizant of the report of the task force, but particularly the government commitment to developing the potential of our coastal areas. And I will be bringing forward an announcement in that regard in the near future.
Work on a new pathway to the Great Fannet Arch is nearing completion ahead of the summer. The project's been carried out by Donegal County Council. The path is following an alternative route to reach the shoreline at the arch. Once finished, it's anticipated the new pathway will make the arch more accessible. Councillor Liam Blaney says once agreement was reached with new landowners, the process moved quickly.
Look, it's unfortunate it took as long as it did, but at the beginning there was, I suppose, some local people down there was offering land for access and for car park, but unfortunately they were, in my opinion, just trying to delay the whole process. And when we found that out, we got on contact with new landowners, and thankfully these new landowners worked with the council, and the contracts took a wee while to get drawn up and everything. But the main tourists, the contractor moved on there about 3 weeks ago. This is his third week now in it, and he had the pathway constructed to the arch, and there's fencing and a lot of things to do yet on the pathway. But that started, and hopefully that the pathway will be completed and fencing and everything completed by the end of February, and then he's going to do a bit of work on the car park, and hopefully by the end of March then the whole job will be completed.
Letterkenny doesn't.
And that was Councillor Liam Blaney there. Sailta is under pressure to find an urgent solution to fill an upcoming vacancy at the breast clinic at the Letterkenny University Hospital. Serious concern has been raised that when the current consultant radiologist moves from the post and retires in the coming weeks, some services at the clinic could be moved to Galway. It's understood a temporary consultant radiologist will be assigned to the role for a four-week period. Well, on today's 9 till noon show, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty told Greg Hughes that the possibility of Donegal having to travel to Galway for treatment is totally unacceptable.
Letterkenny doesn't stand on its own anymore. It's part of the Sealta grouping, so therefore there's a responsibility on Sealta to make sure that healthcare is provided to all of the regions in which it covers, and therefore they have a responsibility to make sure that adequate cover is provided to Donegal. And the solution of just, well, travel to Galway isn't acceptable. That's not on the cards, in my view. We need to actually make sure it's delivered here in the region.
Work is commencing on the 152-bed Ebrington Hotel project in Derry. The first sod on the £15 million development was cut today by First Minister Paul Giffen and Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill. The hotel will encompass five buildings on the Ebrington site, including the clock tower. The hotel is expected to open in June of next year. During their visit to Ebrington, the First and Deputy First Ministers also opened AMP, a start-up business hub on the Ebrington site. Well, the Letterkenny and Derry Chambers of Commerce say 2022 will be a crucial year for the Northwest City region. Chambers on both sides of the border have met to discuss their shared priorities for the Northwest over the course of the coming year. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
The meeting comes as the Chambers submit their joint response to the All Ireland Strategic Rail Review, where they call for wholesale rail to reform to strengthen the Northwest connectivity with the island's other economic hubs. And with Brexit protocol negotiations ongoing, both chambers expressed their desire for the protection of the Northwest's access to UK, Ireland and EU markets. Over the past year, the chambers have also collaborated on a Masters in Research programme examining cross-border clusters with a particular focus on the fintech sector. Christine Reynolds, Letterkenny Chamber President, says they are looking forward to working together to tackle the key issues facing the local economy. She believes that both Stormont and Dublin must work to address the regional imbalance in transport infrastructure as part of a properly funded investment programme to bolster the region.
Returning to an earlier story and the easing of restrictions north of the border, it's been confirmed that as of next Wednesday, nightclubs will reopen. There'll be no need for vaccine passports in bars, restaurants, hotels from that date. They will still be needed in nightclubs. Other restrictions will ease tomorrow at 12 noon, including the requirement for table service in the hospitality sector and the removal of limits on how many households can meet. Now, Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill says it's welcome that they can lift restrictions, but she is urging people to remain cautious.
Is it a turning point? I think that's yet to be seen. That's why I think we shouldn't get carried away, because we are still in the middle of the pandemic. We still have a really significant high number of cases every day. So that's why we need to be cautious in our optimism. If there's one thing that's for certain, and you've heard me say this many times through the pandemic, it's just surrounded in uncertainty. I hope that we never have to go backwards, but you have to always be honest and say that you can easily get hit with a curveball in the pandemic.
People are being further encouraged to take part in the first ever outdoor recreation strategy for Donegal. The strategy launched this week. It's intended to gather public views by a series of online consultation workshops. It'll examine how outdoor recreation can be sustainably developed and managed over the next 5 years. Liam Ward is Director of Services at Donegal County Council. He gave Errigal as an example of what the strategy is hoping to achieve.
One example which is, I suppose, really deals with that issue very clearly, take for example Errigal. A lot of people like to walk up Errigal on an annual basis. Loads of visitors, great to see it. And obviously, we're working closely with the local community down there on Dunluce. But I suppose part of the challenge for us as a local authority with our partners is, okay, but loads of people walking up the mountain, you know, we have to protect the asset as well. And if people are allowed to walk everywhere, you know, up the mountain and down the mountain, it does get damaged over time, and the asset that is there that we need to protect gets damaged.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with League of Ireland Soccer, and Fan Harps have announced the signing of Yo-Yo Matty from Shelburne. The highly rated striker played a pivotal role in Shelburne's 2021 First Division winning campaign. The 24-year-old began his League of Ireland career with UCD. And Bohemians, they look set to lose another promising young player to the UK. It's believed MK Dons have met Bohemians' buyout clause for the Republic of Ireland under 21 midfielder Dawson Devoy. Bohs already lost the likes of Ross Tierney, Georgie Kelly and Rob Cornwell departing during the close season. Meanwhile, St Pat's, they have completed the loan signing from Preston of midfielder Adam O'Reilly. In local schools soccer today, the FEA Schools Junior B Boys Ulster Cup final. It was Pubble Skull Gwydor 3, PCC Falkara 2. Victory for Gwydor there at the Letterkenny Community Centre today. In the Africa Cup of Nations, it's goalless at the break between Ivory Coast and Algeria in the final round of Group E games. Sierra Leone and Equatorial Guinea, they're also scoreless. As things stand, reigning champions Algeria, they would be out. The final round of Group F matches this evening sees Tunisia play Gambia and Mali face Mauritania. Cross-channel, Chelsea's opponents for this year's Carabao Cup final will be confirmed tonight. Arsenal host Liverpool in the second leg of their semi-final with the tie poised at nil all. Liverpool assistant manager Pep Linders says they are keen to secure a place in the decider.
It's good that we are in January and we speak about reaching Wembley. And one thing will be, we're going to try with everything we have to reach Wembley to compete there. And Arsenal, yeah, it's clear, we need to go there and win.
Kick-off at the Emirates tonight is 7:45. Also this evening in Gaelic games, Fresher Gaelic Football Championship, the LYIT, they play St Mary's of Belfast. That one starts shortly in Convoy at 6 o'clock. And the LYIT have been handed a home draw in round 3 of the Sigerson Cup. After Tuesday's defeat to University of Limerick, the Letterkenny College will go up against UCD next week in the final stage of the qualifiers. Maxi Kern's side are mainly all from Donegal, with senior panellists Jason McGee, Keelan Ward, Patter Mogan, Rory O'Donnell and Ryan McFadden all involved. The only Donegal player on the UCD side is Niamh Connell's Jack McKelvey. The winner will go into the quarter-finals. The other three games in round 3 see University Ulster against CIT, IT Carlow play Queens, and St Mary's they face Maynooth. Also in Gaelic games, Paul Galvin is set to join the Kildare football management team. It's been reported that he'll form part of Glenn Ryan's setup as a forwards coach. In golf, Shane Lowry is 4 shots off the lead and best of the Irish on the opening day of the Abu Dhabi Championship. The Offaly player carried it a 4-under par round of 67. Rory McIlroy, he shot a level par round today, with Patrick Harrington a shot worse off on 1-over par. Jonathan Caldwell is currently 3-over par. Scott Jameson heads the field on 9-under par. And on the PGA Tour, Seamus Power and Graham McDowell, they're both in action this evening in the opening round of the American Express in California. In tennis, Emma Raducanu suffered from blisters on her right hand as she made a second round exit at the Australian Open. The US Open champion lost in 3 sets to world number 98 Danka Kovic. The Montenegrin will play Simona Halep in round 3. And men's second seed Daniel Medvedev accused the Melbourne crowd of having a low IQ. That's following his 4 set win over home favourite Nick Kyrgios. But Andy Murray's tournament was ended in 3 sets by Japanese qualifier Taro Daniel. In horse racing, Robbie Dunne has appealed against an 18-month ban for bullying and harassing another jockey. The British Horse Racing Authority last month found him in breach of 4 misconduct charges for his behaviour towards Briony Frost. Majority of the offences are said to have taken place in 2020, with Dunne denying all but one count brought forward against him. Just finally for this evening, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Oisin Kelly looks forward to the return of the Donegal and Anshone Leagues this weekend with Nigel Ferry and Dermot O'Brien. Gaelic Life journalist Michael McMullen previews the Dr McKenna Cup Final, while Mickey McCann reflects on the county's Conor McGurk Cup Final defeat. And Declan Kerr tells us why Eamon Giles is this year's inductee to the Donegal Sports Star Awards Hall of Fame. And Keith Cowan gives us an insight into Colostia Alley being crowned All-Ireland Basketball Champions. A very busy programme. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be hearing from the Donegal representative on the IFA National Sheep Committee, Adrian Gallagher, about the problem of sheep being attacked by dogs. But first, as the calving season gets underway, the IFA will host a dairy calf webinar next Monday at 8 o'clock. The webinar will inform farmers on how to use the latest technologies to improve the quality and value of calves born from the dairy herd, and will also examine the viability of dairy calf to beef systems. The speakers will include Rob Doyle from the Department of Agriculture, Stephen Butler from Chagosk, Sean Coughlin from ICBF, and Nicky Byrne from Chagosk. Details are available on the IFA website. Meanwhile, Donegal pig farmers are facing a tough time at present, and this week an IFA delegation led by IFA President Tim Cullinan met with the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellow, to discuss the ongoing crisis. A round table meeting of stakeholders is now due to take place next week. IFA Pigs Committee Chair Roy Galley said that based on Chagas data, farmers are losing €37.84 per pig due to the price drop, combined with an unprecedented increase in feed prices. He says they need an immediate solution. Well, in recent weeks, there's been a number of attacks on sheep from dogs in various parts of Donegal, including Kildaff, Balcarra and Balbuffet. To find out more, I've been speaking to the Donegal representative on the IFA National Sheep Committee, Adrian Gallagher.
Hi, Chris. Every year, particularly around this time of year, we seem to be have a real need to highlight this issue. It seems to become more of an issue, particularly this time of year, both the longer nights, people are walking, they come home maybe, like the dog's out, they go and make their dinner or whatever, so, and they come back and really their dog is gone, you know. Unfortunately, the majority of people are okay, but there are some dogs out there, and it's just natural. They're predators, and that's what they do, you know. So, and my advice really would be for all dog owners to take full responsibility for their dog. If they are letting their dog out, make sure that he's under their control and is within vision of themselves.
Now, there are penalties, of course. The Control of Dogs Act, which covers most things back, I think it was 1986 it came in, and there can be fines and an imprisonment, but it's not very often things go to court. And I suppose one of the issues is that it's a problem that is underreported as well.
Yeah, that's true, Chris, and I suppose one of the key things here is unless we have more accurate data, then it might increase the chances of getting these fines and deterrence better put in place. I mean, if you look back at some of the figures from 2021, right, the local authorities did seize 198 dogs, right? 82 owners were convicted under these. Now, the rest, now, maybe there were two or three dogs in the one case or whatever, but there's a lot of them not convicted under. And the fines are very, very minimum. And this is one of the things that the IFA in particular are pushing, that there are more stringent fines for a conviction when this occurs. There are other issues as well, we'd say, if you're looking for. And I mean, if you look at it, there's an estimation of maybe 800,000 dogs in Ireland, right? At the moment, there's only just over 200,000 of these licensed. I mean, the money that the license is taken, it's the local authorities that are policing this. And it's the funding from the dog license that are policing the local authorities. So there's an awful lot of money out there not being collected by the local authorities, which could be used to fund additional wardens, additional shelters, and more on-the-ground invisibility from the dog wardens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's such a big county to cover. I mean, you could have, I'm sure if the resources were there, you could have wardens in different parts of the county.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Particularly in Donegal, I say, because the size of the county, I say, and to have so few wardens is just not acceptable, you know. Another big issue is the microchipping of dogs. We're looking for a single database for the microchipping to be established, right? Because the moment, I mean, we take on any other livestock that we have on the farm here, whether it be cattle or sheep or even equine, now everything is electronically tagged, everything is recorded with the Department of Agriculture, whereas for dogs, it's up to yourself whether you microchip your dog. The law says you do it, but it's not really being enforced. And again, we don't have a single database where all these microchips are recorded, so that's something that we're also looking for and trying to get that sorted out as well.
It's important also, Adrian, to point out that, you know, it's one thing saying people should keep their dogs on a lead. There are probably instances where dogs are out and maybe their owners don't even know this.
Oh, I've no doubt that's happening all the time. You'll see it on social media, you'll hear it on the radio that there's a dog missing or there's a dog wandering in a certain area, you know, and you hear it day in, day out, and it's just not good, Chris, you know, and unfortunately, some of them will lead into farms of land where there's livestock, and the damage they do is just unreal.
We hear also that during this COVID era that pets have become more popular, people have got more dogs. Do you think there's an actual link here to the current problems?
Yeah, I have no doubt. And I mean, I know I did say an estimated figure there of 800,000 dogs. I mean, I would say this is probably on the low estimate. I think if there was an epidemic, which affect the dogs, then we wouldn't have any real control on numbers or any know-what of what numbers are out there in terms of dogs and the country.
So for farmers themselves, important to point out that the law allows them, in certain circumstances, they can actually shoot a dog if the dog is interfering, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's true, Chris. I say the farmer or the shepherd does have a right. If a dog is seen in their land worrying livestock, they do have the authority to put that dog down there and then. Now, that's not what we're... And what we're trying to highlight here,
yeah.
we're that's the last resort we want to do. Obviously, we're trying to, the welfare of the sheep is number one. We do have the right. To have that right, then obviously, as a landowner or a farmer, we have to have a firearm license. We have to have done our course to have a gun. So there's a lot of, other issues that need to be done there as well, from a farmer even to being in possession of a firearm,
Yeah. But the bottom line is, if owners take responsibility for their own dogs, and that goes a long way towards alleviating matters.
Absolutely, Chris. And that's one of the key issues we want to get the message we want to get out here is that if you have a dog, it's your responsibility to know the whereabouts of that animal at all times.
And finally, Adrian, if there is an issue, we do have a dog warden. There's a county council you can go through there. There's a local Garda station. Certainly report it.
Yeah, and the more reporting is done to local Garda or local authorities, then the more accurate the data and information that we can get, and then the more chances of, getting some of these fines, increased or more stringent, So, yeah, I would advise any farmer, if they have a livestock, even if it was McKill, if there was still a livestock being a worrying issue, and your thing is to report it all to the local Garda or the local dog warden.
And that was Adrian Gallagher, the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Sheep Committee. And finally, farm organisations have today given a broad welcome to the voting through of key amendments on animal transport in the European Parliament. This will go some way towards safeguarding competition in the cattle trade. IFA Livestock Chairman Brendan Golden said Irish farmers support and implement the highest welfare standards in the world, and this includes the strictly controlled transport of animals. Seeking to change the rules because other countries failed to implement them was not acceptable, he said. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Looking now at the weather forecast, and Met Éireann tell us it'll be mainly dry and cloudy this evening. A little patchy drizzle possible in coastal areas in light northwest or variable breezes. Staying cloudy and dry in most areas tonight. Again, a little patchy drizzle near the north coast. Lowest overnight temperatures 1 to 4 degrees Celsius, light westerly or variable breezes. Tomorrow it'll be largely dry and cloudy with some patchy drizzle at times, again on northwestern coasts in particular. Highest temperatures on Friday of 5 to 7 degrees Celsius, light, occasionally moderate, southwesterly breezes. That's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief. And Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has told the Dáil that upgraded micro-redress legislation will be published before Easter. 10,571 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed today in the Republic. Meanwhile, Donegal saw 4 more COVID-related deaths in the week up to Tuesday last, January the 18th. In total, 235 COVID deaths have been reported in Donegal since the start of the pandemic. Restrictions are to ease in Northern Ireland. Nightclubs will reopen next Wednesday. The executive has also agreed that dancing and indoor events from that date can resume. There'll be no need for vaccine passports in bars, restaurants and hotels. They'll still be needed in nightclubs. Meanwhile, other restrictions will ease at 12 noon tomorrow. And that's Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, January the 20th. The death has taken place of Damien McFadden, 16 Lisowen Avenue, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his mother's residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church at Coghill, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Nuala Shields, Carnamugga, Letterkenny, Naoimh McGinty, formerly of Owy Island, reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, going to St Junan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online. Interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Michael McGlinchey, 19 O'Nolan Park, Strabane, and formerly of Ballybofey. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Quigley funeral directors. House is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Vincent McGahern, 232 Town Parks Convoy. Funeral leaving his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church Convoy. Interment afterwards in the old cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via Craig's Media Facebook page. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Medical 4 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. House and funeral are strictly private to the family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Danny McGarrigal, 6 Linkside Park, Strabane, and formerly of Bridge Street, Strabane. Funeral leaving Quigley's funeral home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Brian Gallagher, Brian Hamish, Carrigatasken, Derry Beg. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral Mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, followed by burial in Maharagallan Cemetery. Funeral Mass will be broadcast on the Chapubble Wirra webcam. Wake strictly private to family, close friends and neighbours, please. The death has occurred of Frank Kilpatrick. His remains are reposing at 4 Racecourse, Kilmacrenan. Cremation will take place at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Con McDade and Sons funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Peggy Lafferty, Nay Ward, Shannon Ballandrate. Funeral leaving her daughter Maureen Gallagher's home, Doris Ballandrate, tomorrow morning at 11:25 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough Glifford at 12:00. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to St Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranorlar, care of Quigley funeral directors. House is private to family, friends and neighbours only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.